Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The most famous scripture in all of the Bible is this: For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him will not perish, but have eternal life. And in this series of programs, we're going to see some of the particular events that demonstrate how God so loved the world that He gave His Son to suffer and die for us on Passover Day. So we're going to pick up our story in Matthew chapter 26, and we'll read verses 52 through 54. This is Matthew chapter 26, verses 52 through 54. Now this is, again, on Passover Day, after Jesus had betrayed, or Jesus had been betrayed by Judas. So his captors came to get him. Then, of course, Peter, in defiance of this, cut off one of the crowd's ears. And then Jesus healed this man's ear. So now we have Jesus talking to Peter. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put away your sword. Put it away into its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you think that I cannot pray to my Father and have Him instantly give me more than 12 legions of angels? But if I do that, I'll be blocking the scriptures from being fulfilled." Now let me ask you a question. How does this event show the love of God? We said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we see that this scripture says, "Put away your sword, for they that shall take the sword," that means that those who live a life of violence shall also die a violent death. But how does this event show the love of God? Well, let's take each of these sections of this scripture and we'll investigate it in depth. The first part is in verse 52, where it says, "Put away your sword." That's the key phrase. "Put away your sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5 and we'll read verses 9 through 12. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. As you know, we always quote scripture because we believe that the scripture interprets the scripture. I don't need to add a whole lot of words to the scriptures because God has done a very good job at allowing the scriptures to interpret themselves. So here it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." This is opposite from those who take the sword and are violence makers, war makers. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall falsely accuse you of evil for my sake." Now, isn't this exactly what was about to happen to Jesus? Of course. And so Jesus, knowing that this was about to happen to him, was, I'm sure, recalling these scriptures that he had taught his disciples. And he said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall falsely accuse you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." And now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and we'll read verses 18 through 23. This is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 18 through 23. And this is going to explain to us why God says that we are blessed when people revile us and persecute us and falsely accuse us of evil for the sake of Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. This is why God says that it is blessed for us to be persecuted in this way. It says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the crooked. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. What glory is it if you patiently accept correction when you are at fault? But if you suffer patiently when you do well, this is acceptable to God. In fact, this is a big part of the reason why you were chosen, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. In other words, he didn't sin, neither was guile found in his mouth when he was reviled. He didn't revile in return when he suffered, and he didn't threaten people. Now, here's the key. But what he did do was commit himself to God, because God judges righteously. That's the key, my friends. We can be blessed when people revile us, persecute us, speak falsely of us, and accuse us of evil falsely. As long as they are doing it because we are doing things in the name of God, we should rejoice in that and be exceedingly glad, knowing that our reward is in heaven, because we have committed ourselves to God, knowing that God is the one who judges righteously. It's not up to us to avenge ourselves. It's not up to us to take matters into our own hands, to resort to fisticuffs, fighting people, taking the sword, using violence. We can commit ourselves to God, knowing that God is the one who judges righteously. That's the attitude that God is looking for. That's when we will be blessed. That's when we can know, because we are peacemakers, leaving vengeance to God. We know that that is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. So we are being trained right now in a way of life. It is not the way of violence. It is not the way of the sword. It is not the way of going to war. It is the way of peace. Now here, in this next section of scripture, we're going to learn a little bit more about how we can be peacemakers. This is in Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verses 18 through 21. This is Romans chapter 12, and verses 18 through 21. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, do everything in your power to live peaceably with all men. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him something to drink. This is how we can live peaceably with all men, as opposed to living at war and at odds with people, taking up the sword to take vengeance into our own hands. No, that's not the way to go. Put away your sword. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him something to drink, for in so doing you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather put aside wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. See, that's why we can live at peace, because we don't have to worry about these people getting their just due. God is going to take care of them. Now, it's not that we should be praying that God is going to hurt them, but we know that God is the righteous judge. God is the one that will take care of them. And after all, God wants for everyone to be saved. We might want to kill somebody. God wants to give them life. So we should put aside wrath, and we should give God a chance to work with the person. So God says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Fighting with people is not the way to go. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be fighting. It's just a question of with whom should we be fighting. Do you know with whom we should be fighting? Well, the answer can be found in Ephesians the 6th chapter. And let's read verses 10 through 17. Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 17 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." So God is talking about being prepared for a fight, but who is it that we're going to fight against? That's the question. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's who our fight is against. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." In other words, we don't fight really against human beings. We fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of war. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. It says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what we should be about. Preaching the gospel of peace, living a way of peace, putting away the sword. What we should do is take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take also the helmet of salvation, and take the sword. Uh-oh. Didn't Jesus say, put away the sword? And now we see in this scripture where Paul is saying, take the sword? Is that a contradiction? No, my friends, it's not a contradiction. Let the scripture interpret themselves. Let's keep on reading. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We don't need to fight with a physical sword. We don't need to own a handgun. We don't need to go to fisticuffs to fight to resolve issues. What we need is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, because our battle is against the devil, against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. It says that Satan is the god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is trying to deceive the entire world into following his way of life. And what is his way of life? Didn't Jesus say to certain people that you are of your father the devil? Your father is a liar from the beginning and a murderer from the beginning. That's the way of Satan. So we should not be following Satan. We should not be following his way. We should put away the sword and not fight against our fellow human beings. Instead, we should live peaceably with all men. We should give place to wrath, put aside wrath, and understand that vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. What we should be about is using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to fight against Satan, the devil, to put down every evil thought and live righteously, to preach the gospel of peace and to live peaceably with all mankind.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.